You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thank you for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland. He's the senior pastor and one of the elders of Believers Baptist Church, and another elder, Philip Castleton. I don't know who submitted this question, but it is what we call around here a gooden, and there's a lot that could be discussed in this. And speaking of which, if you have a question that you would like to submit, you can do that with a simple email, and our email is office@bbcemory.org. So you can, just send us an email with your question, and we will try to get to it at some point. Hopefully in 2020, but we've got a lot of questions that have been submitted, so thank you guys for doing that. And with that said, we will now move to the question for this week, and we're going to go to you, Jason. Were the Old Testament saints indwelled with the Holy Spirit?
You're right, Tyler. This is a good one. And this is one that would take probably hours to try to answer. This is a question that we've talked about for probably 20 minutes pre-mic. Mm-hmm. So we have tried to sort through this and think about this and come to some brief or succinct kind of way to answer the question. So the first thing we need to do is start with the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit at creation, and we see Him all the way through Scripture to consummation. We see His regenerating work. We see His progressive kind of illumination and inspiration. We see His work within nature itself. We see His work as it is displayed through even Christ. So the Holy Spirit is God. We don't want to separate from that reality.
And eternal.
He is eternal.
Yes.
He is worthy of worship. He is to be worshiped. He's not to be separated in any way from God the Father, God the Son. Only in role are they separated.
They're distinct in person.
Distinct.
Yeah.
And so then I guess we just want to set the stage by saying this is who the Holy Spirit is. Mm-hmm. And then we want to come back now to the question and say, was the Holy Spirit active in the Old Testament, particularly in regard to the saints? Because when you read the Old Testament, you see statements like, the Spirit came upon Saul, the Spirit came upon Samson, the Spirit came upon David, the Spirit came upon the man who was doing the manufacturing or the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And so they were indwelled for a time with a special indwelling of the Holy Spirit for a specific task. That doesn't mean they were not indwelled by the Holy Spirit in terms of regenerating work or faith. And the reason I say that, Philip, is because when you see the writing of the Hebrew author, the author of Hebrews in chapter 11, and he's recording for us the story of Abraham and Moses and Enoch and Jacob and all those saints of faith. Faith is a gift given to us by God through the vehicle of the Holy Spirit, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so faith comes to us as a gift. And if those men are designated as men of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, then that probably indicates that they had faith in the actual life and context of their life that they lived. So those then begin to kind of work themselves in my thoughts as to try to understand, was the Holy Spirit indwelling these men, these people in the Old Testament? A good text for that is John 3.
Yeah, absolutely. In John chapter 3, we have Jesus talking to Nicodemus, Nick at night, and he's chiding Nicodemus in a real sense for not understanding the testimony of the Old Testament. You know, in verse 4, it says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? You know, Jesus has said to him, you got to be born again. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Now, here we got the spirit being talked to. This is pre-Pentecost. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind, he's talking about the spirit here, blows where it wishes. You hear its sound. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes. But so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So it's the testimony of Jesus here to Nicodemus that every person who is born again, every person who is born of God, is born by the regenerating work of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Jesus answered, are you the teacher of Israel? And you don't understand these things? Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, the Old Testament, your Bible, teaches the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, that a man cannot come to know, understand, be redeemed, given a new life. Those things do not happen outside of the work of the Spirit. He's talking to Nicodemus. He's saying to Nicodemus, clearly you should know this if you understand your Bible. And he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. So when we, in regard to the Old Testament saints, yes, the Holy Spirit was involved not only in their regeneration, but as you said a second ago, in the act of faith, which is a gift from God, in the ongoing act of repentance, which is also a gift from God, which faith and repentance are the two marks of salvation, right? They are the marks of conversion. The thing, the way that I know that I'm saved and the way that I know that my brother is saved is that there is an ongoing act of faith and an ongoing life marked by repentance, both of which are not only enabled but ongoingly, if you will, empowered by the Spirit. So, as confusing as some of the scriptures might be in regards to, you know, how the Spirit came on certain Old Testament people and so forth and so on, I think it's safe to say that there was nobody who believed salvifically, to those who believed in the coming Messiah in the Old Testament and had faith in that and repented and turned from their sins, that wasn't empowered and indwelled by the Holy Spirit to do so.
Right, so let's go back just for a moment to John 3, when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you ought to know these things. He's referring back to, particularly in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 29, God says, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit, and I will put within them that spirit. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. I will remove the heart of stone, I'm sorry, from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. So that's one reference that we have.
Well, and that's exactly what I'm speaking to. He's going to put a spirit in them that enables them to obey, that enables them to follow God's rules, which is what repentance is. It's turning from my own law and desire and turning to that which God has ordained for me, right?
Right, and in Ezekiel chapter 36, we had the same thought. This is in 26, verse 26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you that spirit, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So same idea, two different texts, though, mm-hmm. two different times that God had said that about the Spirit and the regenerating work of the Spirit, and Nicodemus should have known that.
Right.
So what we're saying is that even though the texts are explicit in regard to the Holy Spirit coming upon Saul, and the Holy Spirit even being removing himself from Saul, and the Holy Spirit explicitly coming upon David, and then David praying in Psalm 51, Lord, do not remove your Holy Spirit from me because right. of his experience with Saul. We're not denying those things. We're saying that the Holy Spirit did come upon those men, particularly for Saul to be king of Israel, for David to be king of Israel, mm-hmm. for the builder of the tabernacle to do the work that was necessary to make the tabernacle ornate and a worshipful place
right.
so that the people could come. So we're not denying that at all. We're just saying that in the midst of that, there is the evidence of faith through the Old Testament that demonstrate there is a indwelling.
Right. And there is undoubtedly something that happens at Pentecost that is distinctive. I've heard it illustrated as if you had a dam set on a river and there was a trickle of water that was allowed through the dam. That water is needed to for life's existence downstream. People are downstream. They need water to drink. They need water to grow their crops. They need whatever, you know. To some extent, that's almost what we have in the Old Testament, this work of the Spirit. But then the dam is opened to generate electricity, right? And they allow the water that's been backed up to go through. And now the river is raging and roaring. It's almost as if after Pentecost, what we have is a wider, fuller work of the Spirit. And distinct in some ways, the same in others. Everybody who's ever been saved and ever will be saved is saved by the work of the Spirit, doing a work in the heart of man, and not a one-time work, but an ongoing work that marks those people as repentant and believing. We would agree there, right?
Right.
So we can't deny that the Holy Spirit indwelled Old Testament saints. But what we can't also deny is that the Bible's clear that something distinct happened at Pentecost that even Joel says and prophesies to that's going to happen, and Peter says is fulfilled there in Acts chapter 2. There is something that happens there that makes believers after that in some way distinct from the believers before, and I don't know that we can rightly articulate how that plays itself out.
I'm not sure either. Using your illustration, you're saying that at Pentecost, the floodgates of the dam are opened to
yes.
the fullest, and so now we have a more fuller experience of the Holy Spirit, if you will.
Yes, and that's an illustration, and it's probably not the best one. It's one that I heard that made sense to me in regards to trying to put what we know is true about what Scripture says is true about the Spirit and His work on men in the Old Testament and the Spirit and His work in men in the New Testament. And I'm just trying to make sense of that and articulate it in a way that's
right. I think we can make the distinction based on what the rest of the New Testament tells us about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. For example, when we think about the Holy Spirit being the comforter, mm-hmm. the helper, the Holy Spirit being the guide, the teacher, to open our eyes, to illuminate mm-hmm. the
Scriptures.
The Scripture.
That's right.
I think we can think about it when we read Paul's command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means to be moved along by the Holy Spirit through our life of obedience and faith, to be carried along, much like a sailboat would be carried along by the wind across a lake. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of definitive statements perhaps help us to get a better understanding, a more clear understanding of the distinction between Old and New Testament, because you don't have those statements in the Old Testament.
Well, we have a statement in the New Testament about an Old Testament saint.
Yes.
Which we could go to, which would help at least solidify our belief that the Old Testament saints were in fact indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And that would be in Luke chapter 1. And it's actually in regards to John the Baptist. And for those of you who don't know, John the Baptist was the final Old Testament prophet. He was prophesied about in the Old Testament, and actually he is the final prophet who prophesies before Jesus, right? The coming of Jesus. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, this is an angel bearing witness to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. And it says in verse 13, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John. You'll have joy and gladness and will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled and dwelled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So here we have a saint before Pentecost, right? Before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in its fullness, nevertheless, indwelled by the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb.
Right. And John the Baptist ministry was prior to Jesus' public ministry.
Right.
So then he wasn't prior to Jesus' birth necessarily.
Well, 6 months. Then,
right.
Yeah.
So then, yes, he demonstrates the idea that, again, the Holy Spirit indwelled a Old Testament saint, an Old Testament saint, and then we get a better understanding, more clear work of the person. I think it's important. We didn't say this earlier, but the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes, that's what I was saying. They're, yes, they're distinct in person.
Yes.
They are one in essence, one in purpose,
right,
one in a lot of things, but they are distinct in person.
Right.
So, yeah, not just their roles.
Right. Yeah. So then, I guess that to answer the question, we're saying, yes, the Old Testament saints were indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
We're saying that with a caveat to, there is a distinction made in Acts 2 about the Spirit, which I'm not so sure if we can fully articulate, but I think we see the evidence of as we see, you know, the New Testament saints and even our own lives reflecting the power of the Holy Spirit's work in us, what we were before Christ and what we are after, and the change in our life is a work of the Holy Spirit and manifest and the evident manifest evidence that he is at work in us now.
Well, all of this discussion brings up other questions that could be asked, questions about was Jesus indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and or was he God? How did Jesus do the miracles that he did? Was it the power of the Holy Spirit, or because Jesus was fully God and fully man? Another question would be, when were the disciples coming to understand salvation? Peter being an example of that, about professing you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then later at the crucifixion denying Jesus. And so it raises that question. We don't have time to answer all those questions now. Perhaps those are questions for the future. And one question that I want us to answer sometime, why were there wild animals with Jesus in the temptation? That's okay. Only Mark asks that or makes a statement to that.
Yeah.
So we'll answer that sometime, perhaps.
Okay.
But anyway, what I'm thinking of was the how the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So it raises up a lot of different questions, some more important than others, obviously, but perhaps we gave some clarification to this particular question. Yes, the Old Testament saints were indwelled by the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15 and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.